that glorious, majestic music means it's time for History Matters with Scott Washington, Hillsborough historian, and on this auspicious or inauspicious or date which will live in North Carolina infamy. It is good to see you to talk about the history going back a little bit further than March 23rd, 2016. How are you?
Well, doing good, Aaron, and you're right. History keeps happening, yes. And sometimes you wish it wouldn't. But it does in any case.
And I think it's important too. And one of the things that I really like about the study of history is that it's a constant reminder that the line from Ecclesiastes is absolutely true. There's mm-hmm. nothing new under the sun.
Like That's
everything
right.
that happens, and as bad as we think things are today, between the healthcare debate and HB2, and mm-hmm. God knows what's going on with Russia and right. Donald Trump and Neil Gorsuch and sanctuary cities and the fight against those for whatever ungodly reason and everything else, we've been through worse before.
That's right.
Yeah. And some of the things that we're going to talk about today are an indication of reminders that we've been through worse before.
Well, you know, I came across a magazine cover, Time Magazine, and it had a picture of the Constitution and the words, "We will survive." And I thought, oh, this is a current issue. No, it was from 2000.
Oh, yes.
After, you know, the Supreme Court
ruled. The whole
ruled.
Supreme Court
exactly.
thing.
Exactly. And yeah, I thought yeah. it was very reassuring to see that going, oh, well, they could reprint that cover because yeah. that's the same thing, too.
Well, I'm reading right now a book called The Folklore of Capitalism by Thurman Arnold. Thurman Arnold was one of the architects of the New Deal. He worked with
right.
FDR in the 1930s. He writes this book in 1937 about how in America we sort of think of everything through a capitalist mindset. So any
right.
new idea or new proposal has to be the selling of it. If you're going to sell it to the American people, you've yeah. got to tailor it to make it to fit within sort of the capitalistic folklore. Otherwise,
right.
it's going to be automatically rejected. And any opponent is going to try to depict it in sort of anti-capitalistic, mm-hmm. communist, fascist, whatever terms. But he makes this really interesting argument, and I'm just up to this point, about how the conservative press in the 1930s demonized FDR.
Yes, they did.
And attacked him, and then he wins re-election in 36 anyway. And Thurman Arnold is talking about, oh, you know, the people are now talking about the decline of the press and how they're not, there's no weight to the media anymore and all of their, and he's talking about FDR and his relationship with the press in exactly the same way that we talk
wow.
about Donald Trump and his relationship to the press now. And the only difference yeah. is that FDR didn't allegedly collude with Russia to
yes,
the election.
Right.
But,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
that little thing. There's so many direct comparisons between
yes,
Donald
sir,
Trump
right.
and specifically FDR and Andrew Jackson
that
keep popping back up. And, man, if only Donald Trump had the integrity of either of those two.
That's right.
Even Jackson, who had his own things.
Well, you know, and I think that certainly in Roosevelt's case, he was certainly tempered by
yeah.
the adversity he faced because he was born in a very wealthy, prominent family.
Yes.
He was on the upswing, and then polio strikes.
Mm-hmm.
And then he drops out of the public eye. There's almost an assumption, well, I guess he's not going to be a part of the public scene. And it's why he's down at Warm Springs that he's talking with average Americans and realizing, I think I have it bad. Look at these people who are struggling.
Yep.
And he comes back, and that is inspiring to people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we all can do with some adversity in our lives at times just to temper us and to make us appreciate when the times are better and what things are worth fighting for.
Yeah. Should we mention that one of our This Week in History items is Jonas Salk developing the anti-polio
yes,
vaccine?
I think that seemed very appropriate, isn't it?
Yes, yes. That's a totally unintentional segue, but there you go.
That's a very good one. So that's one of the wonderful ones that I think seems very
yeah.
appropriate. It's almost like you'd think we had planned this.
But no, we did not. This is serendipity is the history, is the
there
historical
is
order of the day.
There is sometimes a thin line between coincidence and synchronicity.
Yes,
And that's through here. But there are a lot of good things going on this week, all kind of interesting things. The first comic book is invented called The Yellow Kid.
The Yellow Kid.
Back in 1897. The first, I was amazed at this, March 20th, 1886, first U.S. alternating current.
Yes.
Now, you know, we take for granted until there's a power outage, and suddenly we're all really aware that up until that point, you still had gas lights or
yep.
you had coal. It's very, very different.
Oil lamps for everything.
Yes.
Yeah, it's fascinating. We sit here in this radio station with two fluorescent lights and two vents with the central air and the central heating and four microphones and that weird blue light there.
That's
and this
right.
siren back here. And we're just surrounded by stuff that just would not have existed if
that
right. hadn't happened.
It would have like ring a triangle or something.
I'd be walking down, I'd be walking down Franklin Street right now going, Hey, HB2 is still a thing.
That was it. The town crier was the radio
That's
station.
It. That's exactly
yesterday.
What it was. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. The Yellow Kid, though, the first comic book in 1897, that, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I've heard this, but I don't know if it's true, origin of the phrase yellow journalism, I believe.
Oh, well, that may be.
I'm not 100% sure about that, but the Yellow Kid comes out in 1897, and that's the age of yellow journalism, which is muckraking and very partisan and everything. I think the one is the origin of the other.
People
I'm not
will be wanting
sure.
to see, can we get a reprint of this? Wow,
yes.
Is this a new superhero?
Yeah.
Well, the other one, March 20th, was kind of interesting. It's the birthday of Forrest Mars. This is the guy who is the candy maker, and he invents M&Ms. But what I did not know is that they were designed so that soldiers would not get their trigger fingers sticky.
Oh,
and I'm thinking,
is it the
well,
milk in your
on.
Mouth, not in your hand?
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm thinking, I don't know about that. That may be apocryphal. But it's a nice
that.
Story.
I could see that. Yeah.
Yeah. And then
the candy shell is the best part.
Well, that's it. Yeah. Exactly. So the one I really like is on March 24th about G.I. Joe.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
G.I. Joe was, of course, is the, you know, the doll that was popular in the 1960s, and boys played with this and so on like that. Mm. But I found out there was another G.I. Joe.
There's a kid listening right now who's holding on to a G.I. Joe right now going, wait, is that popular today?
Yeah.
Oh. Just sort of quietly sets it down and walks slowly out of the room.
Or ones without arms. Hey, pull it out of the box. Oh, yeah. But there was a real G.I. Joe born March 24th who saved the lives of 1,000 British troops. This was during World War II, and air bombings were scheduled against this Italian town, Calvi Vecchia, or Vecchia. And meanwhile, British troops had already taken the town, but they couldn't get the word back to the Americans, don't bomb us. Radios weren't working, and so
just like
they
that
turned
scene in Dr. Strangelove.
Exactly.
They're flying too low. We can't get the word.
So they turned to G.I. Joe, and he covers 20 miles in 20 minutes, makes it in time just as the bombers are getting ready to take off, and stops the flights from going and the men from being killed. Well, he survives the war, and after the war, they give him a medal. And the
As
British
well
do in London. Oh, exactly. He was the 29th and the first non-British recipient of the medal. He was born in Algiers, but after the war, he moved to the United States and enjoyed retirement in New Jersey and died in 1961 in Detroit. He was over 100 years old when he died. Now, I should mention, that's 100 years calculated in human terms, because in real terms, he was only 18. That's because G.I. Joe was no ordinary hero. He wasn't even a person. He was an American carrier pigeon.
There you go.
Born March 24th, 1943. He was only 7 months old as a pigeon when he flew the mission that saved the lives of so many troops. But what I love is that the British, in their awarding this medal to him for gallantry, credit him with the most outstanding flight made by United States Army homing pigeon in World War II.
Beating out all those others.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's one of those stories that, you know, you'd hear Paul Harvey say, now you know the rest of the story.
Yeah. As someone who grew up in Lansing, I am authorized to make this joke, and I'm going to make it.
Good.
He survived World War II. He survived flying through Italy. He survived all of this stuff, couldn't survive Detroit.
And he's stuffed and mounted, too.
Yeah, yeah.
There's some kind of irony there.
I kid Detroit. I love Detroit. It's a good city. Downtown's awesome. All right.
Good. Well, you know, on that that same day, March 24th, the Carolina colony is created by a grant from King Charles I in 1663. And I just find that just really interesting. You go, oh, yeah. But the first thing is, they make this charter, and then nobody knows really what to do with it. It sits around for several decades, and then they say, all right, let's do it again. And they do it again, and this covers a
huge swath. Is it between 1629 and 1663?
Yes,
right?
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. This huge swath
of territory.
There's
a lot that went on in England between 1629.
That's right.
There was a civil war. There was a coup. Yeah. Cromwell was banning everything,
yes.
And then he got overthrown.
And by the way, oh, yeah, maybe we could do something there. And this was supposed to be like some benefit for the people who had backed King Charles. And he said, well, I'll give you some land, and maybe this will help. But that's kind of interesting to see that the roots of North Carolina go back that far, because I don't think everybody realizes that. And it does play a part in the contemporary history going forward into the 18th century as land disputes arise. And because the Lord Proprietors are so far away, this begins to have, is this really your land and where do you file it? And those lead into the regulators and continuing issues. So
very
that's
cool.
Kind of interesting.
Yeah.
The other things that are going on, I think one is really going back in time. This is just a fun, noteworthy fact that on March 22nd in 2006, a giant tortoise dies at the Alpore Zoological Garden in Calcutta, India. Mm-hmm. But get this. He was given as a gift in 1767 to Lord Robert Clive of the East Indian Company. This tortoise was over 250 years old.
Man.
We started this program by talking about things in perspective,
yeah, right?
But wow.
Yeah. He was sitting in the zoo going, back in my day, we didn't have electricity. We were out until sunset and we liked it.
There was no Nature Channel. There was no PBS.
Oh, 250 years
yes,
old. That's
isn't
incredible.
Isn't that kind of amazing? Yeah. It kind of puts everything in perspective.
That's really cool. Speaking with Scott Washington, by the way, we're talking about History Matters and we're talking about This Week in History. But let's talk, since we're on the March 22nd page, so this is yesterday in history, let's talk about William Holden.
Isn't that
which
interesting?
Is the first governor ever to be removed from office by impeachment and it was in North Carolina.
North Carolina, that's right.
Over a very, very shady justification for impeaching Holden. So this is a story that needs to be told.
Oh, well, and here's Holden, he's actually... At first, he's kind of against secession, and then he's kind of for it. And then by the end of the war, he is definitely on the side saying, no, this isn't a good idea. Mm-hmm. He's appointed governor. He's defeated. He runs for governor. And then in that second office, that's when he starts taking action against the Ku Klux Klan. Mm-hmm. And because of that, it raises the ire of those who were in favor of that. And that's when led to impeachment. In fact, the election occurs, then it becomes a stacked kind of an affair. And he's not only impeached, because in Kansas, back in 1862, the first governor was impeached, but he was acquitted. This time, he's not only impeached, but he's removed from office.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's just a shocking kind of incident of history. But the nice thing about this is, retroactive is that it's just been a few years ago when when North Carolina's legislature actually granted him a pardon. and I think that's a kind of a nice thing to think about is going, okay, well, maybe there have been mistakes, but we learn from them.
Yeah. Did not get pardoned by the House, though.
Isn't that interesting?
That is in fact the case. I mentioned this because there's sort of planning in the works for a Holden retrospective.
Yes, that's right.
And one of the things that they want to do is like, all right, come on, General Assembly, let's actually pardon him for this thing that he should not have been punished for in the first place. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's very, very interesting. So I'm so glad you mentioned him because that. Is one of the great characters of North Carolina history that we need to keep in mind that some of this history that sounds so ancient really isn't.
Yeah.
In fact, I found even a Hillsborough connection here. I was really astonished. On March 21st, 1849, the first Freedom Riders, didn't have that name, surrendered at the Orange County Courthouse in Hillsborough and were sent to segregated chain gangs. And this is because... Yep. In the aftermath of World War II, the U.S. Supreme Court held that state laws requiring segregation on interstate buses were unconstitutional, but the buses kept doing it.
Yep.
And so a group of people from the Congress for Racial Equality decided to test this, started riding the buses, and several came down in 1847, got to Oxford, they got to Chapel Hill, and met with students from UNC, Duke University, and what was North Carolina Central University. And then as the buses departed Chapel Hill for Greensboro, they were, four of these riders were arrested, two African Americans for refusing to move to the rear of the Trailways bus, and two whites for interfering. And they were put on trial. They tried to appeal their sentences. Those were denied. And so on March 21st, 1949, these protesters surrendered to the courthouse in Hillsborough, the old courthouse we always talk about.
Yep.
And they were sent to segregated chain gangs. In fact, there is some evidence to suggest that because of the journal entries and what they wrote, that these became inspiration to Rosa Parks' nonviolent protests in 1955 and the Freedom Riders of 1960-61. I mean, that's exciting history.
Yeah. And really, one of them is Bayard Rustin, who is just a major figure in the civil rights movement.
Yes.
This is the Journey of Reconciliation,
right,
which is another like great moment in North Carolina history and Chapel Hill history. And there is there is a marker commemorating it in downtown Chapel Hill. It's hard to spot, but I'm pretty sure there is one and it exists. But
and you can look these up on the state archives. Just put in North Carolina highway markers, and not only will you pull up all these references, you can also search by like Orange County, and it will say where it is, and we'll give a nice little essay about those as well. So that's a great thing that the Department of Cultural Resources does.
I think the Journey of Reconciliation marker is right around the corner from the plaque recognizing the speaker ban, which is just down the stone wall from the plaque that says Jefferson Davis Highway, which is right in front of Silent Sam, and there's your North Carolina history
right
there.
You don't even have to go far. I'm going to have to find
just
where
run
all
the whole
are.
Gamut of it all. All right, Scott Washington, we got to let you go, but that was History Matters for this week. Scott, thank you so much.
Wonderful. Thank you as always, Aaron. Great to be here.